Monster Man, episode 297, Nightmare and Reflector. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're taking a look at two more monsters from Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. I've said this before on a couple of different episodes, and it's been true on those episodes as well. If something sounds funny about today's audio, it's because I am experimenting with a new microphone setup. To pull back the curtain a little bit, this is the kind of thing that I do because the summer course that I teach is not running at present because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And what that means is that I have a lot of free time, and I use it to do things like experiment with different microphone configurations, because I am a thrill seeker. I mean, a wild man. Anyway, so if it sounds a little funny, if there's more kind of, like, room noise, that's probably why. The mic is a little further away from me. It's a little more comfortable. Anyway, just tell me how it sounds. I'd like to hear your comments. But that's for later. For now, let's talk monsters. Our first monster is the Nightmare. Now, this is one of the few monsters that we've looked at so far that has a specific counterpart in Monster Manual 1, right? There's a Nightmare in Monster Manual 1. Even when we ran into, like, the golems, they were slightly different, but the Nightmare in the Monster Manual and the Nightmare in the Creature Catalog are pretty similar. They're not exactly similar in terms of their powers, but overall they're more or less the same monster. So just to recap, the Nightmare is an evil steed ridden by baddies, so undead and, you know, evil sorcerers and what have you. Their very presence kills small creatures, so things like, you know, bugs and mice and whatever that only have one hit point automatically die around the Nightmare. Well, it's sort of like they exude this mist that does this, that kills small creatures and paralyzes creatures of up to 3 hit dice. In addition, they've got, you know, they can fly, they can turn invisible, they've got great AC, they've got okay hit points, they're fast, they do good attacks, they're really good, powerful, all-rounder steeds. They're not too different conceptually or mechanically from the old Nightmares. I really like the thing about smaller creatures just dying in their presence. There's, I don't know if you ever played the old Freedom Force computer games. They were sort of superhero games in which you control a team of superheroes. And in the second Freedom Force game, one of the heroes you can get is this guy called Tombstone, who's sort of like a ghost guy. He had a whole backstory and I don't remember it. I think he got his powers from the electric chair? I'm not sure. Anyway, but he was this kind of like spooky, he wore all black, he had guns that shot ghosts, etc., etc. And people kind of like, all the other heroes sort of like poked fun at him a little bit. And I remember one of them is making fun of him for like kind of being so grim and serious. And she's like, you should get a hobby, maybe like a pet. And he's like, animals fear me. And she goes, oh, huh? Maybe like a houseplant. You could start there. And he goes, plants wither in my presence. And so I think that that's kind of the Nightmare. The main thing about the Nightmare in the Creature Catalog, as opposed to the Nightmare in the first Monster Manual, is that it looks a bit different, because normally when we think of the Nightmare, and I think I went through the whole spiel about how the Nightmare, the word comes from a term that just means, you know, hag or evil spirit, Mara, and normally the Nightmare is represented, and in most D&D games is represented, like an evil horse, a black horse with fiery hooves, something like that, you know, what the ring wraiths might ride around on. But here we have a much more kind of like creepy, nearly kind of like lizardy or even draconic looking Nightmare. Doesn't particularly look horsey at all, whereas the one in the Monster Manual definitely does. It has big, like, webbed ears, but other than that, it's quite horsey. So the standout difference between the Creature Catalog Nightmare and the Monster Manual 1 Nightmare is the illustration, and I think it actually just makes the creature quite different, even though, conceptually, it's just a monster that a different monster rides around on. It's just a steed, and it has a power level that matches probably the power level of the villain, because a lot of the time you'll wind up in these situations where you're being pursued by some baddie, but they're just on like a regular horse. So there are lots of ways that you can like cause the horse to run off, or, you know, if you're really heartless, kill it or steal it or whatever. And, you know, and then the enemy is only as powerful as their mount. So here we're given a mount that is suitably dangerous and uncanny. And that illustration, by the way, is by Gary Harrod, or at least that's who I think it's by. And very nice it is too. Next up we have the Reflector. The Reflector is a very sci-fi comic booky kind of a monster, and I'm not saying that because they look a bit like the Silver Surfer. But they are humanoid featured, like mirror finished kind of creatures, and they are next to impossible to kill. They take one damage if they're hit by very powerful magic weapons, and no damage if they're hit by less powerful ones. And if you shoot a spell at them, then true to their name, and true to being kind of mirror creatures, they reflect that spell back, possibly hitting you, possibly hitting somebody else. These guys are not, as far as I know, from a scenario. And that's especially weird because they have a lot of, like, weird detail that's very kind of suggestive in a way that, like, indicates that they're part of a larger story. So, for instance, if you are to pry them open, you have to do a bunch of additional damage to them, but if you pry one open, you'll find that inside they're, like, all brain. And it sort of suggests at one point that they're time travelers from the future. Like, and it's stranger than that. It says that they're rumored to be time travelers from the future. Rumored by who? And they go around gathering up magic items and treasure and things, and then by the light of the full moon at midnight, a whole den of reflectors will get together and, with all the stuff that they've taken, vanish, presumably returning to their home time period. How weird! Speculation abounds on why they would do something like this. Presumably, the future, like, civilization that they're from, is it the idea that humans have evolved to become all brains? Have they built these reflective shells so they can project their consciousnesses into brain golems and send them back in the past? Is it a Terminator thing, like the living tissue? Is like a reverse Terminator thing, I guess, where the living tissue has to be covered by artificial tissue in order to time travel? Do they desperately need some particular piece of treasure in the far future, and they're stealing every piece they can find because they don't know which one it is? Or is it that they've run out of certain resources in the far future and they're sending their people back into the past to get them? Because in whatever cataclysm created their weird wizard post-apocalypse, all of the treasure was destroyed. I have no idea. You know who they remind me of a little bit is the Sheeda, the villains in the Grant Morrison comic series Seven Soldiers of Victory. The Sheeda are... spoilers for Seven Soldiers of Victory, a comic that came out 15 years ago or whatever it was. I don't remember. It's good, though. The Sheeda are the futuristic humans of, like, a post-apocalyptic end of the world, you know, a dying sun. They've totally exhausted all of the, like, potential of their world. And so they send these huge time-traveling fortresses back to particularly productive periods in human history to ransack them for all their great art and learning and everything, I guess, you know, to pull their kind of like creative energy out of them. And it sort of creates these apocalypses, right? They're the reason that, like, this marvelous civilization that's described in, like, myths of King Arthur, no trace of it can be found, is because the Sheeda went back and just, like, took it to bits. You know, Atlantis or Camelot or whatever, all of our mythical ancient pasts no longer exist because they were destroyed by time-traveling scavengers. A lot of fun fantasy ideas in that comic, actually. Although you couldn't run the premise of it as a D&D game, since the whole point is that it's about a team of heroes who never actually meet. Never mind. The point is simply that the weird mystery of the reflectors is cool and evocative, but kind of wildly out of keeping with the overall aesthetic of Dungeons & Dragons, and also sort of... Once you've done the time traveling to the post-apocalyptic wizard future, right? Once you've gone to, like, Thundar the Barbarian times and helped these guys with whatever problem they have that's causing them to send reflectors back to steal things, I don't know that you can ever go back to fighting kobolds in a dungeon. Like, it's just stealing people. I think that'd be sort of neat. Like, if everybody knows that reflectors are these weird guys that steal treasure and no one can really stop them, and then they start stealing people, that'd be kind of fun. I don't really know what they're for otherwise, other than to just kind of provide, like, a really strange challenge. They do have a little bit of the feel of an in-universe explanation tacked on to a tactical challenge. So a monster that bounces your spells back at you kind of being the core idea, and then someone going, well, you know, there should probably be a reason for it. Still, I like them, which is not what I was expecting today. In general, I find those monsters kind of gimmicky. You know, like the Adherer, and I don't enjoy them, but these guys are so bizarre that they kind of loop around into me liking them again. All right, that's about all the time that we have for this episode. In our next episode, we're doing a special on ghouls, the grave-robbing hominids of Arabic legend and H.P. Lovecraft stories. And in our next regular episode, we're going to talk about the Silver Warrior, the Soul Eater, and the Winged Warrior as we conclude the Conjurations chapter of Creature Catalog. All of that right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.